Guys, hi.
It's Laura and Elizabeth here, and we just wanted to give you a quick listening note on this week's episode of Too Niche. Due to my home renovation journey, we had to record this episode remotely, and we ran into a couple audio issues.
And by audio issues, I mean I had some trouble with my mic.
And these things happen and are normal, but we didn't want to act like everything is the same and gaslight you, the listeners, into thinking something's wrong with you. We just want to let you know something was wrong on our end.
But we loved the convo so much, and instead of re-recording it, we wanted to hold on to the authenticity of the haul. So thank you so much for joining us. We hope you love it. Now, let's start the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Welcome to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Laura. And this is the podcast where
we haul all the way. We pick a topic and we go through it. We deep dive, as the kids say.
So today we're actually hauling an article that came out in The Guardian talking about one of my favorite and least favorite things, aging. And the article headline is "Never Past Your Prime, 13 Peaks We Reach at 40 or Later, From Sex to Running to Self-Esteem."
And you know, when you sent this to me, my heart said yes, because the world feels especially heavy, and that combined, I don't know if you've tapped into this yet, but
really, because I feel like things are really good right now.
Not the best. So the heaviness of that, and I was like, what if we could get a little boost in this, I think, counter way of thinking. At least for me, because although I am the youngest I'll ever be at this moment, recently, I hate to admit this, but I've felt like the feeling of like what happens when you get older.
100%. I feel like a dusty old crone every day. And I'm also like, I'm closer to death than ever. And truly, and it just is like aging. It's hitting me all at once, like this year in particular. And I think it's just like because I turned 39, maybe it's because mortality is kind of at the forefront of everyone's minds. Like things are just like more fragile than ever before. And it's also like living in LA, like I just notice I don't consider myself, and I guess this is like the first time I've felt separated from young people, but like it really shocked me, like when I was in New York recently, I was looking around like taking walks and I was like, God, there's so many young people here. Were there always this many young people? And then I realized I'm old and they're young, and like now I'm looking at that like, and we're being just like replaced.
It's a sobering thought, and there's just far too many like millennial think pieces about like what it is to be an elder millennial that I've been coming across. And I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So this is, I think, giving us something to look forward to, in that we're going to go through 13 peaks that we reach from 40 or later.
Yeah.
And it feels important in this moment.
Yeah, things to look forward to, and hauling them in terms of like, how great is this? Is it that great? Is it better than you could have imagined? Is it worse? Like, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So we'll jump right into it. So let's talk about what happens in your 40s as we're both approaching that decade.
Thoughts of slow decay that I've been feeling.
Early onset dementia, hurting bones, more prone to injury.
Feeling like I feel like I have more sleep injuries in a way. Like I wake up and my neck hurts from how I've slept.
Oh yeah. I was like, sleep injuries. Sleep like, what injury. The fuck? But yes, I know that drill. You really gotta nail down your like pillow mattress situation. Yeah. The older you get, the more crucial it is to like have the correct sleep hygiene so you don't suffer a horrific sleep injury.
I'm really happy with my mattress. I am obviously a Sleep Crown aficionado. I've got multiple sort of nookie as a nook. Joey calls it my dorm room. Like it's the whole thing. But I haven't found the right regular pillow. And I'm open to suggestions.
Because I've been doing a lot of hotel living, I've really come across some good... I'm all about a king-size pillow.
Okay.
And I think we should all be sleeping on king-size pillows. I think the standard pillow, subpar, and it's all about the king-size pillow now. As I say this, I'm noting that there are not king-size pillows on this bed, which is a problem for me, and I miss the king-size pillow. So... that's something I'm going to implement into my own bed because I only have two, but I would like to up that to four and then do away with the standard pillow.
Do you know what is also just a sign of aging really quickly is being really focused on the pillow situation of your bed?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been like a real pillow. I've been a real pillow girl for a really long time. So maybe I am an old soul in that sense.
That's what I'm saying. Just like wise. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also a girly thing, too. Like, girls and pillows go together.
True.
In your 40s, here are the peaks that you can be excited to experience. Number one, chess. At age 40, your chess abilities will peak. There was a study that analyzed more than 1.6 million moves in 24,000 games, and it found that players made the most optimum moves at about 40.
First, I would have to get into chess. I have some friends who are really into chess, like are in a chess club, and it's like become a pillar of their personality, and I love that for them. I just don't know. I'm never going to say never, but I don't know if for me that's something that makes you go, can't wait for that decade.
For me, chess is a bit who has the time, and I do enjoy like the long-term strategy of it, but I'm also like, I feel like I would have needed to had years of chess training in order to reap the true benefits of peaking at my chess abilities at 40. So this one's kind of a D for me.
You know what I'm super into though, that I think you can excel it at any age? Checkers.
Good point. Maybe also there's like, just like strategy. I do feel like I'm in a great like strategic place where I'm more strategic than ever before. Yeah. So that's my chess. So that I like.
Okay. So it bodes well for a strategizing mind.
Mm-hmm. The next one really surprised me.
Ultra marathons. It's giving Carol Radswell.
So from age 40 to 49... running anything longer than a standard marathon, which is often 50 to 100 kilometers, including multi-day races of many hundreds of kilometers. Women are peaking between 40 and 44 and men 45 to 49. This is shocking because every time I run, I hurt. And this has been happening since my 20s. So they're telling me now that I've just been not running far enough, that if I just run 100 kilometers or run for days at a time, that I'm suddenly going to be great at running.
This gives me optimism. I have never considered an ultra marathon, but this is one of those things that like, as you get older, you surprise yourself and I'm open to it.
I will say I've been getting there's a light, faintest hint of a marathon tingle within me. I did run cross country freshman year of high school. I was junior varsity cross country.
Okay.
And I liked it. But I also experienced like a raging case of bursitis in my hip. So I don't know if the running life is for me. Maybe my shoes were all wrong, but this, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, like this.
I'm intrigued. I'll give it a B.
I am right there with you. I'll even give it a B plus because it to be able to do this says you can do a lot of other physical activity too. So I'm highly optimistic and I have hope. I have H-O-P-E, Obama hope right now.
I think it's cool to get like extremely athletic in like your 40s, 50s, 60s. I do see that for myself. So maybe if not an ultra marathon, there's something else.
My dad got into cycling in his 50s.
Okay.
And that was cool.
Yeah. Cyclist mindset is definitely like a male cyclist mindset.
Yeah.
I see that.
And there's like a lot of like fun gear to get.
So yeah, there's
like
the
a whole, yeah, the
wear.
Shirts, the like Italian bicycle, the whole, you know, there's just, it's like good for a gearhead.
Yeah. Okay. Reading a stranger's mood, 40 and beyond.
Okay. So
we're seeing.
Here's the thing about this. I said to myself, oh, I can already do that. And they mentioned this in the mind and eyes test. I took the test.
Oh, love.
So they said participants look at photographs of strangers' eyes and have to guess their mood. It's used as a test for emotional intelligence. And I said to myself, oh, I have got this.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do well.
Whoa, how did you score?
I got 28 out of 37.
What percentile is that? Does it give you like a percentile?
It was like, they're like, just because you didn't do well on the test doesn't mean, like there's like a whole paragraph. We'll link it. Anyone can try it. But
okay, I can't wait to take this test myself.
Yeah. So apparently there, so it's black and white pictures that make it actually harder to interpret people's moods. But it says, okay, so people seem to plateau at this skill in their 40s, but they don't lose the skill as they age. So to be able, I guess, to have like a keen sense of reading someone that we can like really fine tune in our 40s, I'm really into that.
Yeah.
Even though I thought I already had that, but apparently not as much as I thought.
I like this question and just like the intro questions that they ask. It says, compared to your family and friends, how good are you at reading people's emotions? I'd say much better.
Yeah.
If we're doing like family. Wow. Okay. I can't take this test right now, though I very deeply want to. I'm so curious to see how I do.
So this one I give an A because apparently I have some improvement to have and sure.
Yeah. I give it a A too because I like that you don't lose it.
Yeah.
You either kind of have it or you don't.
You got it or you don't, kid.
This bodes really poorly for people who can't read people's emotions. Best of luck to them.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one, I actually learned a new word.
So this is in your 50s now. Now you've passed all the peaks of 40. You're like running ultra marathons, reading people's moods.
For filth.
Playing chess. And that's about it. That's it in your 40s. But you're feeling good about it. And now you turn 50. Everyone throws you a huge party. They're celebrating you. And you're like, what's next? What am I going to do next?
Dressage, which I had to look up, which is a French term most commonly translated to mean training. It's a form of horse riding performed in exhibition and competition.
This, I was like, color me interested.
Color me Sutton.
I would hope by my 50s, if I play my cards right, there will be a horse in my future. If I really bank out, I'm going to be a dressage. I'm going to be a horse girl, maybe doing a little dressage, which is you ride a horse and it trots around and does kind of a little dance while you sit atop it and you like tell it to dance this way. You kind of have it trot that way. And it's very hoity-toity.
It's very,
but also cute.
Rich.
It's very rich, but also really weird.
Hopefully, if you've done your Roth IRA contributions and they've added up, this could be you.
Mm-hmm. A number of equestrian Olympians are older, but especially dressage riders. Is it dressage or dressage?
Let me find out.
Horse dancing. It's not accessible, but the age is no barrier to excellence. I like that. You truly can just get into the game late in life, and you might find yourself at the Olympics one day.
It's very optimistic. Oh, it's mm-hmm. dressage.
Dressage. Okay, that's what I thought.
Dressage.
Dressage. Author Jojo Moyes has ridden since childhood. This year, she not only entered her first dressage competition at 54, but won. Okay, well, some of these things I'm like, you have had a leg up because you have done this since childhood.
You've been a horse girl your whole life. Mm-hmm. And then you just like,
you just now decided to do this. You're actually like, are you really peaking, or
it's just a natural progression into this form?
So, but I liked what she said about her training. She said, training was tough. I nearly stopped because I thought, I'm just too old and fragile to deal with this. Deciding to view it as a process and focus on incremental improvements kept her going. Age brings mental resilience and perspective, she thinks. You're better able to rationalize. You say, okay, I might fuck up, but it's not a disaster.
I like that.
I like that too. Incremental progress is the key.
And money.
Yeah. And lots of disposable income, to where I would venture to say you don't have to work if you're just working on dressage training.
I'd give it an A for aspiration.
Same. I like that they're being like, don't worry, plebeians. You could maybe do this when you'll get really good at this thing that literally you have to have millions of dollars to be able to
get into like any form of it, but it's there for you.
Go off. Great.
Okay. So this next one, between 50 and age 70, is self-esteem. Healthy self-esteem is a key component to good mental health, and long-term data analysis has found it climbs from adolescence onward, peaking between ages of 50 and 70. Interestingly, 2020 research from Japan found self-esteem continued to rise from adolescence right into old age without the drop other studies had found. The researchers speculated this might be because people in Japan have more humble and balanced attitudes towards themselves, not just old age, making peaks and steep declines less likely. Okay, so it was like a controlled experiment based on culture.
I love that. I don't love that it takes that long. I'm like, you're telling me I have to hate myself for another 10 years before I start to feel like I'm in my groove?
I would love it for like radical self-acceptance to come sooner rather than later. But if I can imagine myself like giving zero fucks from age 50 on, that gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's cool. I do think by 50, I will have less fucks to give than ever before.
I will say, as the years progress, the fucks get lessened.
Mm-hmm. As the years progress, the fucks get less.
Yeah.
The fucks given get less.
Yeah.
As the years progress, the fucks given get less.
Poetry.
Mm-hmm. So that's something, that's definitely something to look forward to.
I like that.
I would
one.
Like to start viewing my self-esteem as a dressage competition and train every day starting now with incremental improvement.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get there prior to 50. 50 to 70 is a long, that's a period of 20 years. I'd like to be there at 45.
I'm going to say 42.
Yeah, I'm actually going to say 40.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
There. Perfect.
If it starts at 40, he comes in so hot. By the time it's 50 to 70, unstoppable.
One thing I noticed, and I remember very viscerally from when I turned 30, I woke up and like I suddenly felt lighter. And so I don't know if we have any listeners who are in their latter 20s and have yet to hit the 30 mark, but if I just imagine that that lightness, or I would love to believe that that lightness might continue as the decades progress.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that?
I love that for you. No. I think like looks wise, I felt like I was peaking at like 31 or 32. Like that's when I was like, hell yeah. But life wise, I was like, things were darker than they'd ever been. Like I'd say, especially by like 33. 33 was Cedars level and then remained kind of like that until maybe 34, 35. And then it's been like stable and good. But I'd love a little bit of
a little boost.
50s to 70s energy in the mix.
Yeah. May we all be so lucky to have 50 to 70 energy today.
Yeah. The cruel thing about aging is like very few of us are going to feel like we're firing on all cylinders when we're like looks wise or like beauty standard wise max, like looks maxing. And that's really unfortunate because I'm like, if only I keep finding myself, I think, being like, oh, if only I like looked like this, but I have all these tools now, like that would really be the key.
I feel like that's such a common female thing because as we get older, we just evolve into a more fully formed self, but then we like don't look as hot.
I know, but it's like, I think that, I mean, that is bullshit and we have to like reframe our and retrain our brains to not be so warped about like
hotness,
looking older and hotness and like redefine like what hotness is, because truly hotness is just more of your vibe than it is like how you look. You can be like very, very standard, beautiful, but still be like extremely ugly and a drag to be around. So
that's so true. And yeah. I will say, like, in the times that maybe, like, aesthetically I might have, like, looked in, I'm using air quotes, but, like, in more of, like, a hotter time, maybe I looked good, but I was mizzy, you know? So,
when hundo.
There's times when I put on some weight, and not that there's anything wrong with putting on weight, whatever. But, like, for me, I feel, like, a little chunkier, but I'm, like, happier. And I just wish that, I don't know, the brain, the world, all of it is really heavy. And I think it's really easy to focus on like those little things like in our head that we can obsess over.
Yeah.
And I would love it to for that to go away. Therapy? Hello?
Yeah, it's a therapy. But then I saw a TikTok last night because also social media is like a psychotic place to turn to whenever you're feeling ugly and ready to just like scroll, because it's nothing but like filters and hot. Like I remember exactly where I was when I saw the very first Snapchat filter. Remember like the pretty Snapchat filter that was like a facial plastic surgery that just made you look like the hottest version of yourself, but seemed like a bunch of subtle tweaks. And you're like, why does this look? I remember that day being like, wait, why don't I like, I remember it clear, like clearly haunting. But I was on TikTok and I found this post that was like, we need to stop buying into like these ideas that like the older you get as a woman, like the less valuable you are, because that's literally like broke, uneducated losers perpetuating this idea that like you have to be like spending all your money to look hot, or like not being like, it's like a bad thing to just be old and successful and single as a woman. And then she went through a list of all these women who had married billionaires like in their 40s and 50s and they're like 50s, 60s and 70s. So I was like, I'm into this. Like, hey. Hell yes.
A plus. Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that Glenn Close like met and married a billionaire in her like 60s. I know. She's like low key. I mean, look, they're
Glenn Close.
Don't get me wrong. There are problems with billionaires for sure. But, you know, if one comes knocking, I'm not going to say, get out of here.
Who are you to turn them away?
Yeah. I can't help it. They love me.
Equal opportunity.
I'm 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was saying also, like, as a woman, you get older. And as a person, you get older, you get more successful, and you have more opportunities to be in the spaces with other older, successful, interested, and interesting people. So it's like a good thing. You shouldn't be like keeping yourself down just to be like some dusty, broke loser.
Amen. Arithmetic at age 50, pass.
I see this happening for me because I am, I think, better at math now than I was 10 years ago. And I do find math to be more interesting. Like, I get it more as a concept. I like get math now and like why it's important more now than ever before. And I find it to be more interesting with every passing year. So I was kind of like, maybe in my 50s, I like finally understand like pre-calculus. Maybe I circle back and get past college algebra, which I did actually slay as my one math class in college.
Okay, mathlete.
Maybe I circle back to some geometry, which was really a challenge for me, or pre-calc, which I failed and then just begged my teacher to give me a D so I wouldn't have to retake it. And he did.
I never made it that far in math. I made it, I think, maybe through algebra.
Even in high school? What did you have to take in high school?
I don't know. I was in truly like the slow kids math and science class. And then I was in honors English.
I don't think they offered like alternate versions of math and science. They, for me, they were like, you have to do this. And I was like, why?
There were like three girls in my class. And all boys, and they were all boys who were like only in school half the day because they had like gotten kicked out and had to do like some alternative learning thing, but they had to take like their core subject. Like that was me.
Okay. Constantly. Yeah, I'm remembering. I mean, I went to summer school for failing biology, and then that was where all like the idiot guys, like football players that like couldn't even like form a sentence and like fellow like potheads.
Yeah.
Gathered and became one, and I excelled in that environment both socially and academically.
I always took math and science classes for college during the summer because they would be easier.
Smart.
And I always was in summer school during college.
Wow.
Because I didn't
want
really
did things right because I was like just like failing and then like trying to make up for it, but it did serve me in college. Failing so many times because when I took biology in college, I was like, well, I've taken this twice and taken summer school. So I made like an A plus, like just rose to the top of the heap and was like, I am a scientist now.
There you go. No, I never
and
was.
You find it interesting after a certain period of time.
I think now though, I hear you, like, I think I would find it interesting, like solving one of those, you know, like a hard math equation because the challenge of it and like the brain exercise would be intriguing to me more so now, whereas before it was forced upon me and I was like, I don't care about this.
No, who the fuck cares? You're asking, you're going to write a bunch of numbers and like be like, solve this for what? It actually is meaningless. Like physics was interesting because you can actually picture, you're like, oh, if an airplane is like something falling out of the sky or like you throw it off a building and you do all these things, you can visualize it and you're like, oh, that has meaning. It's like anchored in something very tangible. But like doing like long equations just for the hell of it, for like no other reason than to find the answer, I'm like, I'll fucking pass.
Oh, I hate that.
There are
that.
Enough questions in life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I hold deep resentment that our schooling system didn't teach us like actual applicable math skills of like, here's a checkbook. Here's how you balance it. Here's how the tax system works. And here's how you can do it for yourself. Let's walk you through TurboTax as a collective.
Yeah.
That's what I needed.
Mm-hmm. Accounting.
And I'm running for office.
Failed almost in college, but then managed to get a C. So arithmetic, I'm actually going to give an A because I'm like ready to step into my Einstein era in 50s. When I figure out math, it's true. And also figure out math in such a way that I end up affording to get a horse and becoming a dressage champion. It's over for you hoes.
I am ready. I'm going to give it just like a C because I'm ready to just step into my like math lady meme mode at that point and just be.
You're like, if I can even just like visualize it in a confused way, I've achieved my peak of arithmetic.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, we're in our 60s now. We've made it.
We've lived through our 50s. We've entered our 60s. We said, God, what's next? Could it get any better than just knowing how to add and subtract, riding horses?
And it turns out it can.
Having great self-esteem. Yeah, get ready.
At age 61 and 63 is your peak age to win a Nobel Prize.
I love that. It's not so fair now that I'm realizing Malala was 17.
That's right.
I'm like, I don't love that. But every once in a while, you have to like throw a teenager a bone.
The ages at which most have received this recognition are 61 and 63, tied with 33 prizes each. So 33 people in their early 60s had won a Nobel Prize.
I love that. And there are many different kinds of Nobel Prizes you can win, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll be in the running per se, but I would love it if a peer of mine, a friend, an acquaintance was in the mix for this.
Maybe a fellow podcast co-host.
There we go. There we go. Oh, my podcast co-host.
Oh, there are only 6 categories. Damn. I was like, there are 80 categories and I am ready to find my niche one. There's physics. That's going to be a no. Chemistry. Absolutely not. Physiology. I'd have to really understand what that means before I can say yes or no. Medicine. Probably not. Literature.
There,
potential.
There we go.
Peace, potential, and economics.
That's well, another arithmetic. TBD.
Mm-hmm. Don't count me out on the econ.
Maybe they could open up another category for podcasting. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. I personally like to know that the elders, I don't even think 60s are in their elder phase yet. So scratch that.
60 is the new 40.
Yes. So I give this an A. I give it a prize even.
There need to be more prizes for people over 40.
Yeah. Especially for our generation because no one's going to be able to afford a house. So we need like a prize to like give us a boost. Something to put on our rented mantle.
I'm going through rental renovation hell right now, as many people who listen to SUP probably know. But the contractor that was hired to like help fix all my problems turned to me today and he goes, this is all so expensive. Why don't you just buy a house?
Sir?
And I said, Javier, where would I get that kind of money?
Babe, the mortgage rates are 8%.
So do you know of any good deals right now? But I liked his attitude towards it is an attitude that I need to adopt.
Cavalier.
It's very like rich dad, poor dad. Instead of saying like, I can't afford it, say, how can I afford it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution, age 65.
I think I'm very good at conflict resolution. But I can't wait to get even so much better that by the time I hit 65, the Nobel Foundation is like, we're recognizing you. That was supremely peaceful of you, and we would like to recognize you for that.
We saw you out there on the dressage court, or whatever it's called.
We've been following your dressage competition. We've been following your dressage career for 10 years. We're impressed. The fact that you're also a math genius,
and you've
solved incredible amounts of conflict. Like, they're like, peace in the Middle East was solved by you, dressage champion, podcastress turned dressage champion, chess master. They're like, we have no choice but to give you actually the peace and the literature one now, because we're rereading White Girl Problems and you were really ahead of your time.
I see all
they're
of
like,
this.
Who would have thought someone like you could solve such a global conflict?
You're like, because my conflict resolution skills have peaked at 65.
Yeah. Fight, fight, fight. And then by the time you're in your 60s, you'll realize it's not that deep. We got to just resolve.
Yeah. A plus.
A plus. This shocked me, this next one. I've never heard this before until this very moment.
Sexual satisfaction and wisdom. 60s question mark?
Okay, wait. I forgot about the question mark. I'm like, I don't know. You tell me, you're the writer of this article.
I know.
What?
Single and fabulous?
It would be nice to believe Match.com's 2018 Singles in America survey, which polled more than 5,000 single adults, finding the optimal age for sex among single women to be 66 and 64 for men. But not all investigations have offered such cheering news. A 2020 German longitudinal study found the older the individual, the less satisfied they were with their sex life.
Here's a word I learned. Esqual. S-Q-O-L. That's sexual quality of life. Just a fun buzzword.
People are saying your S-qual may remain stable as you age. My S-qual is just at an absolute zero, maybe 0.5.
Only one place to go.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay, so this, if true, an A, but it seems like they're even TBD on it, I'm giving them an F.
They're like question mark, so.
Don't put it on the list.
Yeah, but I'm into that. Great.
I think it's like you can't calculate S-qual by age. I think age, actually, I would argue, has nothing to do with S-qual. Like, maybe your horniness levels might fluctuate with age, but I think that honestly, it's what partners are you seeking out? What are your sexual proclivities, what are your sexual goals, etc.
Also, it says, I want to point out that in this study, the survey that they did, it was among single women in their 60s and at 66 and 64 for men. So if you're single and in your 60s, then you're fucking.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense because... Yeah. If you're like single in your 60s and you're like
self-esteem is peaking.
Let's hope you're in the right rooms, rubbing mathlete. Shoulders. You're a mathlete. You're like an Olympian dressage person. You've just won the Nobel Prize and literally everybody wants to fuck you.
Everybody's like on their second or third round of relationship, marriage, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready to go. You know what you want? That I give a higher grade. That gets a bump.
I like that.
Vocabulary at age 65. So part of Hartshorne's 2015 study on cognitive peaks involved crunching data from 10,000 people trying out tests on a puzzle website. In that, vocabulary scores peaked at 65. That isn't so surprising, according to Hartshorne, who's area of expertise is language, saying there are things that really require a lot of time. There's just so much language you have to learn. It doesn't matter how fast you think. There's no way of getting around the fact that it takes decades to come across certain words.
Fair. I look forward to my vocabulary improving because it's already pretty good.
You have
imagine yours is too.
You have a really wonderful vocabulary.
Thanks. That was always something that was important to me. And I like to learn new words. Like, yeah. I love finding a new word. So I can't wait for the treasure trove of words that will find me in the next
so many more.
25 years.
Growing up, it was so annoying at the time. But if I asked what a word meant, my parents made me go and get the dictionary and look it up.
They hit you with the Google it.
Yeah, but it was pre-Google. My dad has read the dictionary. So wow. I come from a place of scholarly mom and dad. So they were like, look it up and read it out loud. And I was like, oh.
I love that.
But I'm thankful for that. And I can't wait to evolve my words.
I give that an A+.
Yeah, I'm ready to nail that down into bigger and better.
Get become a real wordsmith.
Ooh, over 60. You're nice.
Research suggests older adults are more emotionally stable and less impulsive. They're better able to maintain positive relationships, and agreeableness increases substantially with age. I love that.
Okay. Great. I like how that's bucking the trend of like crotchety old man stigma.
Oh, I do like the positivity bias. They're saying that a positivity bias in memory recall emerges. And older adults tend to recall more positive memories and fewer negative memories. Well, this sounds like they're saying, don't worry, you're going to have dementia by the time you're 60. And you will be nicer because you're in a deep cognitive decline.
A little bit,
Still Alicing, but you're nicer than ever. You're a joy to be around. You're just demented enough that you're like quirky and sweet, but you haven't entered the phase of dementia where people are like literally pull the plug.
Hey, now we've hit our 70s. We're in, we're sunsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And body confidence at age 74.
Finally, you will look in the mirror. You will turn 74, look in the mirror, and all that hatred of self will have washed away, and you'll say, I am hotter than
ever. I'm fine with it.
You have no other choice at 74. If you hate yourself at 74, you are willing yourself to die, and you could achieve that easily. All you have to do is just like close your eyes and be like, I'm done. And when you go to bed, and your body will stop. So you either are going to like yourself and want to keep like, going, or you're going to decide to end it. Yeah. So this is like, okay, I guess.
Satisfaction with body image peaked for women at 74. For men, it came later at about 80. A poll from 2014 is hardly definitive evidence, which is where they got this data from, but a literature review in 2015 also found the importance given to body images as it relates to physical appearance is lower. So you care less, and then you're just like, fine.
You're like, fuck it.
It is what it is.
Couldn't pay for it to get fixed, so by now we're not worth it.
Well, I mean, I certainly hope it comes sooner. But
yeah, I would like that. I would like to not spend the next 34 years hating my body and wishing it was different, only to just give up at 70 and say like, oh, it's fine.
But the dressage, I think, is great exercise.
Yeah, it seems good for the core.
Yeah, definitely. Then in your 80s,
that's the only good thing that'll happen to you when you're 70.
The only thing they give you.
Yeah, because you either will like it. You either it's kill or be killed at 70.
Absolutely. 80s, we have happiness. So you've hit 82 and you're happy.
You are sundowning. It's over. You're in the nursing home. Every day you wake up, you have no idea where you are. Your brain is just like a whitewashed room, but you do feel a sense of happiness that can only come from your brain being just a mushy ball in your skull.
They said when older people are asked to pinpoint the happiest time of their lives, the most common response is not an age in childhood, teens, or early adulthood. It's 82. That emerged from a telephone survey of Americans' well-being. Here's my thing about telephone surveys. The only people answering the phone and actually going through with the telephone survey are those in their 80s.
Yeah, and the only people that are going to be like engaged in giving this answer are literal people that you start with the question that's like, when were you your happiest? And then they say that and you go, what if I told you if you gave me $10,000 right now, I could make you even happier and it would be a one-time investment and you would not regret it. And I actually spoke with your grandchildren and they said you should do this too. And that's when you hook them in and you commit fraud on a grand scheme targeting the elderly.
And they said, yeah. And then that happens. And then that was the last time they were happy was before that phone call from the telemarketer.
Yeah. They're never happy again. That was their happiest was like... it. Because everything crashed downhill after that. They ended up on the streets because the telemarketers stole all their money.
Nothing but up from here.
Yeah, I'd say like I'm down with 50 to 70. That seems cool.
Yeah, I think it's a blessing. And I will say, just in all seriousness, I think that there is that like anxiety of about being about to hit 40 and like that feeling of like, oh shit, like at least I know I feel like, is this like, have I lived my life? Have I peaked? Like what's next? It's just a very sobering assessment to have to make.
It's
and
freaky.
It is. And it's
the halfway point for some, the halfway point for others, even if they don't, it's not even half, you're a 3/4 point. It's really
it's
scary.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be like, every day is a gift and it's challenging. We all get to a certain age and like life happens and it's hard and it's fucked up. And I want to be able to like, I love that we can laugh and I think that like there needs to be like a shift in perception of like how we progress or else it's going to be like things are grim.
Oh, it's grim. I'm like, how are any millennials like going to take care of themselves in old age? If you can't like buy a house or anything, like, I mean, not to be fear mongering, but like if you can't like save up or if you're not like planning on how you're going to pay for your life when you're 60 and if you're living longer than ever, like the scariest thing to me is like, outliving my money. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to like that. And you hear about that happening with old people a lot because obviously things are more expensive and like whatever the fuck. But like, what the fuck? Like, no one's going to hire you to do a job when you're like 90. There's a cafe in Japan that only hires people with dementia as their waiters and waitresses.
I saw that.
Which seems frustrating, but very cute.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What a haul.
A total haul. I think we've just discovered that you really are peaking between age 50 and 70. There's a lot to look forward to. And then hopefully you played your cards right and you're just living off your dressage fame and your Nobel money.
And maybe your Esqual brings you to a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I love a slightly dark haul.
Yeah, same. My favorite kind.
Favorite kind. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. And till next time.
Stay niche.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you loved today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at @this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose, from infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats.
Their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.